Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Pinnell, for today, March 10th. Welcome to the show. Just want to remind everyone that the call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399. And in my sister's absence, I'm just going to do some quick beauty news, which is very, very quick. Just want to remind everyone that episode 6 of Beauty Talk, the web series, is out on YouTube, www.youtube.com/ Illusions Cosmetics. And it's also out on Vimeo, vimeo.com/ Beauty Talk. Soon we will have our very own website for the show, and we'll give you details on that as it progresses. Welcome to the show. Tonight our guest is celebrity hairstylist Lawrence Davis. He's not on the phone yet. Both he and my sister are working on the same show, so they're running just a little bit behind. But right now we have also joining us is celebrity makeup artist and hairstylist J.K. Hunter. Hi, J.K.
Hi, Denise. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine.
Oh, cool. J.K., I'm just going to just jump right in on the conversation, and then when those two, you know, become available, they can just join us. And I wanted you on because I know that you're also a hairstylist. You've been in this business for a very, very long time. And I just wanted to kind of talk and just share with the listening audience tonight a little bit about hair, working with hair for film, television, print, theater, fashion, et cetera. You know, we do a lot of talk about makeup. We've had hairstylists on the show before, but I wanted to just kind of really, like, get into it. And I know you've done some work with wigs and that kind of thing. Am I correct? Hello, J.K.?
Yeah, all of a sudden my phone went out. I don't know. I hear you now, but go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. So I was just saying, I know that you've worked with wigs and that kind of thing.
Right. Yes. I love to make wigs. Okay. I think I started making wigs upon necessity of doing my own hair. and started trying to figure out how to make them and how to come up with them and where can I find a wig cap, because it was becoming so difficult to find someone here who could do a really good weave like you would get for TV. You know, not just kind of slapped in, not glued in. So that's kind of how I started. I'm trying to figure out. I was like, I can't braid. So I don't call myself specifically a hairstylist. I mainly promote myself as a makeup artist because I went to makeup school, but I did end up going to hair school and barber. So I definitely do hair, no doubt about it, but I'm just learning how to braid, actually. So I usually have somebody else braid if I do a weave. But when it comes to making a wig, it's not necessary that I know how to braid. So because I'm just going to make a wig, sew a wig, and that's where my sewing skills come in. And I've been sewing since I was, junior high. My mother taught me how to sew, and I learned more in school. And what do you call it? Ed, whatever that class is where they teach you how to sew in school.
Oh, home economics.
Thank you. I can't think of that for anything, home economics. So that came into play and worked out because now I actually can hand sew a wig, but now I just decided I was going to try making a wig with my sewing machine, and I've done that too. So I can sew a wig together much quicker by working it on the sewing machine. So that's kind of how my skills came about. You know, that's the same question Mario Van Peoples asked me. How did I begin making wigs? And he said the gentleman that worked on Malcolm X, and I don't remember his name, had the same type of experience. Just out of necessity, you had to make it because you couldn't buy or find what you needed at the time when you needed it, or couldn't find the people with the skills to make what I wanted to make. So that's how I started with the old wig making thing, and it's just so easy to just make a wig. If I have something I'm going to and I don't want to wear my hair, and I decide to, I'll make a wig the day before. And
that's fast, huh?
I'll sit down. It may take me part of the night if I hand sew it, but if I go ahead and do it on the machine, and usually I use a closure, and that way I'm done. I can do it quickly, and if I'm going to cut it, style it and curl it in a night easily. So it's just not that hard. And out of necessity on doing actual hair on the set of non-union gigs, because we do need to clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do hair on union gigs because you have to separate it. Can't do both. For people that don't know, we know that. But out of necessity on the set of different photo shoots and things that I've been on over the years, if they had a hair person, they didn't quite know how to do hair and style it so that you couldn't see through it. You know, there weren't gaps in it. You know, I ended up kind of helping in that regard or doing the whole head myself. And so that's
right.
How I ended up doing hair. And I really just started promoting myself, let's say, within the maybe past 5 years, maybe past 8 years, as makeup, hair, and wigs. I've been doing it for years. I just hadn't really been promoting myself as that, because I feel like sometimes people are too quick to take on all the titles. Oh, yeah, I just started doing this last year. Oh, yeah, I do makeup and hair and clothes styling and wardrobe and blah, blah, blah. And I do all of that now, but I didn't promote myself as that. I promoted myself solely as makeup until, you know, I just decided to go ahead and do that. I just picked up the whole celeb thing within the past, 2 years, adding that as a tag. It hadn't even stressed me or concerned me other than having, you know, publicists and people starting to call me that. I hadn't even thought about it until a few years ago. To call myself celebrity makeup artist and hairstylist, J.K. Hart. I hadn't thought about that. So, yeah, the whole hair thing came about out of necessity, just needing to do my own, having a child, beginning to do her hair far more frequently, and on set, me and people that, you know, have been doing stuff for years, or I'm on the set of something where, you know, there's a hairstylist, but they can't really do what needs to be done to a black head.
Right.
And those cases come up. So
Let me ask you, JK, because I was looking at, it was just a little short article, and I can't remember what magazine I saw it in, but it was just a short article talking about the lace fronts. You know, they're so popular now, the lace front wig.
Yeah.
And, but they, what they were talking about, they were saying that lace fronts now are, well, not now, but in general, are not believable. And they used, who did they show? They showed Beyonce, they showed, it may have been Ciara, and it was another person, I don't know if it was an actress or a singer, but they showed like three African-American women, and they were talking about the lace front wigs, and they were saying that, you know, it's not believable because, you know, they still, they're, I guess stylists are still having the issue where you can see the lace around the front. Yeah, it's just a lot of different issues with that. And I'm, what are your thoughts about lace front wigs? Because I'm thinking about, you know, a lot of people, you know, singers, actresses who may wear them, and, you know, you have film and television, and now they're filming in HD. You know, maybe in the theater, it's not such a big deal.
Right.
With filming television, and you're with your HD cameras now. What's your take on that?
See, to me, lace front was a temporary thing started by, yes, those big celebs. They can glue on a wig. Like you said, it wasn't as much high def when all of that started. And the people that are doing it and were doing it were the top level of hair people in the country doing it. And people like Beyonce, Ciara, and whomever else, yes, you saw them in that when they were getting some sort of major publicity, or they were on stage, or they were in a photo shoot, or they did it for a video. But otherwise, they weren't always in that. To me, a lace front is not an all-day wear. It's not something like you put it on like your clothes and I'm going to wear it all day and keep it on. You shouldn't be doing that. That glue should not be applied to anybody long-term all day. I know hairstylists will conflict with me on that, but I just don't think that it should be across the board. I think that we are going to have a lot of women that are dependent on lace fronts because they've killed the follicle, they've smothered the hair follicle, the root of their hair, and some of them, so many people are shaving the hairline back so that they can put that lace front on in a more believable location on their hair, and you just cannot do that and hope that you'll still have hair in that place. It's like shaving your brows off. If you keep shaving your eyebrows off, they may not come back. What were you going to say?
Can I add something to that? I think with a lot of this lace front stuff, I think a lot of stylists don't really use the best lace.
Mm-hmm.
There are some really nice European laces that you can use that's very fine, and you know the little holes in the lace are a little closer than most of the lace that you see. And a lot of people aren't aware of that lace. But when you go to, like, a beauty supply store and buy a lace front wig, of course it's not going to be the best wig. And it's definitely not going to be believable.
That's
but when
true.
In film and television, hairstylists should be using better lace and should be
That's
educating
true.
Themselves on how to conceal that, because you can't really put makeup on that lace.
Right. Yeah, you're right about that. That sounds like Denise.
Yes.
See, I do know
that's her.
Hey, Denise. You're right. I think you're right about that, because if you really ever get to put your hands on one of those really expensive lace front wigs, that lace is so thin and so light and airy. It's like if you cut a piece of it and threw it into the wind, it'll just take it away. Whereas some of that other lace on these wigs that you buy, $20 to $100, and some of them they still spending $300, $400, $500 on it, is a thicker, heavier duty lace that does not go to your skin as well. You can't apply it, and it just doesn't wear the same. is that beautiful lace front. I know, I wish I knew her name. I need to Google it while we're on the phone. The woman that does Tim McGraw's lace front. Now, I was in Country Strong. I did not work on that set. I did not work on it during makeup. I was in the movie as a extra, kind of like a key extra. Didn't have any dialogue, just I was standing in scenes with Tim McGraw and in scenes with Gwyneth Paltrow. I stood right in Tim McGraw's face and talked to him for hours on this in this graveyard scene. I could not tell that that was a lace front. I had, if I didn't know he was bald, I would have had no idea. That's how beautifully applied this lace front is that he wears. And you can see it on television. People know when he's got it combed back and he wears it in different ways. That's how a lace front should look. Not this artificial line where you can tell it's not your hairline. It doesn't look like it has anything to do with you. It just looks plain old crazy. And I don't even want to name some folks that are stars in the Christian realm who are wearing the lace front to the point where they don't even have a forehead anymore. They have a three head because they're not trying to put that glue closer to their not trying to put that glue closer to their actual hairline. So then they're putting the lace front down lower, and it's almost on top of the eyebrow. It just looks horrible. And that's not how you're supposed to wear that. And people don't know how to trim them. If you don't know how to trim it, then, of course, the application is not going to go well because it's not going to look like a good hairline. And then people don't know how to – learning how to apply that hair and actually literally take a strand of hair and put it on that lace. I learned it at Joe Blasco. I don't even remember it now. It's been so long since I went to school and actually did it. It was so meticulous that I even knew back then. I was like, this is not what I'm meant to do. I could do it if I had to, if somebody showed me really quickly, because I have, thank God, a knack for being able to learn something pretty quick if I watch somebody do it. But I just know it wouldn't be what I would want. And that's what you almost have to know if you buy one of these cheaper wigs. The person selling it almost needs to know how to help create that thinner hairline or to, excuse me, thin that wig out so it doesn't look so full right at the edge of your head. It's like the young lady that just got eliminated off of American Idol. The one is from Nashville. She's from, well, they say Antioch, Tennessee, which is one of the suburbs here in Nashville. Black girl. I just said the other day, I wonder how many shows will it take for them to actually fix her hair. But she didn't make it through this week, so we won't see. Because, you know, it takes a certain number of shows before they actually change you and start fixing the people up. And she's wearing one of those lace fronts, and it's just horrendous. But she's trying to pull the hair around the edges so you can't see the actual hairline. And you probably and can't see the glue. Because if she had it applied correctly, and just like everybody else, she'd be pulling it straight back and putting it into a ponytail and all that so you could see her hairline. I think all of that is unnecessary. And I'm sick of grown women with baby hair. If I see another grown woman with baby hair, I'm going to smack somebody. I swear, I cannot stand. If you are above 5 years old, you have no business with baby hair.
JK, let me ask you this. Let me go back to something that you said a little while earlier. You mentioned that, you know, you were just taking on certain titles, and you're saying, you know, how some people say they do hair and makeup. And I've often, my opinion on that is it's great to say you can do hair and makeup, but I've often thought that, you know, artists should just choose one or the other. Only
right.
Because I think that you have to be more passionate about one more so than the other. And I think that you're probably more talented at one more so than the other. So, I mean, how do you feel about that?
I agree. When I first started, there were some things that just came to me through prayer, through knowledge, and through understanding of life. That when I prayed about and asked the Lord to help me remove me from Federal Express, which is where I worked, because the doctor gave me a year to live, and I was so stressed, and I had an EEOC charge against them, that I needed to find something I like to do. I wanted to do something in entertainment. When it finally came to me while watching videos that makeup was what I wanted to do in high school, first thing I thought is, how can I do it for fame, for stars? And one of the other things that I began to immediately think is, I don't want to do hair. I want to do makeup, because makeup is what I have more of a passion for. And everybody's talking about, well, you don't, how you going to do makeup? You're going to be able to do that, and you can't do that. But you come from Brownsville and Jackson, Tennessee. How you think you're going to be able to do that? And I just always knew that there had to be a way. If there was a will, the Lord brought it to my mind, and all these things started playing that helped me get into it, there had to be a way. So my initial thing was, I didn't want to go to hair school to do makeup. I knew that my mother had been to hair school, and I knew that they didn't teach her much in regards to makeup, so why do that? So I knew that makeup was my strong suit. Even then, I could do hair. I've always been good at doing hair. I was doing my own hair, took over when my mother did. You know, kids take over at a certain point in the teenage stage, and my hair didn't fall out like normal kids do because I was good at hair, because my mother was good at it, and I watched her and learned from her, same way with sewing. So I had a knack for hair, but I knew my passion was with makeup. I knew that. And I knew, and I don't know how, that when I got really to the bigger league and finally got to the union level, even though I didn't know what was real, if there was a union, where the union was, what the union was called, I was like, I don't believe that when you get to the big times that you're going to be able to do both on the set. I think you're going to have to choose. And I was right. I didn't know that until a few years before meeting Denise, you know, for sure, that I was going to have to choose, and that when I got in the union, I had to make a decision. But I was right about that. So in doing that and in only promoting myself as that, I felt like I didn't look like I'm trying to be a jack of all trades, because I agree with you. You have to have a passion for one and perfect one before you jump up and start talking about I do it all. That's like people who tell me, oh, yeah, I do makeup and I do eyebrows. And, you know, I do some computer stuff on the side. There's a girl here that does that.
But, but JK, you know, there are a lot of people who feel like, you know, if they let people know that they are makeup artists and they are a hairstylist, that they won't lose out on jobs. But to be honest with you, most of these jobs that, especially like commercials hire one person to do hair and makeup. So they mainly hire makeup artists who can do hair. But the hair that they require you to do in a commercial is just pretty much light styling. So just
that's
about
right.
Anybody with a few products and a comb and a brush, you know, and an iron or something can do light styling on a commercial shoot. But
right. There
are people who, you know, who want to go on a photo shoot and who do both. You know, they do editorial hair and makeup. But for me,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that. I don't even want to do that.
On that
I don't
level,
even like
I don't
hair. So,
I
but
don't
I, so I'm not going
to
like.
I don't want to get to the set of something big, and it's some big star, and the hairstylist doesn't show up. Oh, don't worry about it, honey. I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. No.
No,
I'm not about
because
to
you're
do
not
that.
Gonna get, you're not going to get paid to do both jobs.
You're not going to, more than likely, you're not going to get paid to do both jobs. And at that level, I don't do hair.
Exactly.
I don't do hair at that level. I do hair at the level exactly what you're talking about when it comes to actually getting on set. I do hair at the commercial level. They need a hair and makeup artist because they're not hiring both. Yes, I do hair on that level. I definitely do hair in regards to theater. All the way done, because most of the time when it comes to theater and if it's characters, I promote using a wig. And we're talking about a wig that you can clip in and take off, no lace fronts and gluing anything unless we just absolutely have to. And, you know, it's just theater. It does not matter like it does for video, photo shoot, and high-end editorial. But when it comes to that level, I don't do any of that. I don't I'm kind of with, okay, at a smaller stage, on a lower level, on a lower budget level, you say you do hair and makeup. But I still don't promote that you say you do hair and makeup and you've just been in the industry 2, 3, under 5 years. To me, it doesn't make sense. You haven't perfected either one. Especially
can
if I know
something
that
with
you haven't gone to school for either.
Let me share something with you all, and I'm saying this particularly to the people that's in the chat room and anybody that's listening, and I'm saying this, you know, for people who have just maybe started working or who've only been out there, you know, 5 years or less. I'm saying this because I'm listening to what both of you are saying about perfecting one, being passionate about one, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I worked on a show last year, and it wasn't a union project, so the person that came in, it didn't matter if they did hair and makeup, you know, they could do both on this show, you know, if they needed to. So anyway, the person that I had worked with before with this particular production company wasn't available, so I had to find somebody at the last possible moment to come in to do hair. And at the time, this was in Los Angeles, so my hair, my directory of hairstylists wasn't as large as it is now. But I hired a makeup artist that I know who does hair. She went to cosmetology school, you know, got the license, and I guess that's how she started off. Maybe she went to cosmetology school, got a license to do hair, and then maybe started doing makeup. You know, we always, you know, start off with one thing and see that makeup is always more fun. So she started doing makeup, and she likes makeup better. That's where her passion lies. But she does hair, she can do weaves, all of that. So, you know, I hire her. This kind of gets to what I wanted to talk to Lawrence about with the working in film and television and versus print and fashion, that kind of thing. But anyway, she's worked on a lot of you know, set independent films, television shows, and things like that. That's not union, where, you know, and I'm not putting non-union things down, but when it comes to non-union stuff, there's really not a particular order. So anything can kind of go. So anyway, she, you know, had this experience. Her resume had all this experience on it. Her portfolio had all of these pictures of African-Americans, Latino women, Asian women, you know, all women. Hair work that she's done, hair and makeup that she's done. Hair was fabulous. Okay, so we get on this show, and this show we were working with Hispanic actors, okay, Colombian, Puerto Rican, Mexican, you name it. You know, they were on that show. We had one particular actress with this extremely long and extremely thick hair, okay? I don't care if it's an independent film or if it's a film, you know, that's been organized by the union. You don't have all day to do hair and makeup. You just don't. Time is money. The longer you hold up the camera, the longer you have to be there that day, the more money the production has to pay out.
Right.
Make a long story short, right? Okay, to make a long story short, she did a great job with this actress's hair, but every day it took 2 hours or more to do this lady's hair. Now, and in the artist's defense, I will say that the actress did not make it easy. She was supposed to come to the set every day with her hair shampooed and blow dried. She came to set every day with her hair wet and matted. Okay, so that was 45 minutes drying her hair and detangling it. Okay, that was just 45 minutes alone. But anyway, what I'm saying about this thing between hair and makeup and choosing one, this girl does hair very well.
Mm-hmm.
So how great the actress's hair looked was not the concern. It's how long, you know, it was taking to do it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We have a forward like that from somebody, don't we, Denise?
Go ahead.
So, you know, nobody was complaining about, oh, her hair doesn't look great. What they were complaining about was how long it's taking and she's holding up camera. So I said all this to say, you know, when the show was over and it was time to do the very next production, the production did not want to bring this hairstylist, this artist back because they said, you know, she was just taking too long. She, you know, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. And it all stemmed around how long it took to do her hair. No, it doesn't matter that the actress, you know, was late every day. It doesn't matter because at that point it does not matter. You're supposed to get them in and out regardless. You know, the actress is not the excuse. So
right.
What I'm saying to people is this, you know, I felt bad for her because she was not operating in her true gift. You know what I mean? Like, she can do hair. She can do weaves. She can make the hair look good. But that's not where her gifts truly lie. She's
right.
better as a makeup artist. And she can
right.
whip them out in and out of that chair like that with makeup, but she couldn't do it with hair. And so I just said all of that just so people can hear. Like, some couple of people were saying that they did, you know, they started out doing hair or they're trying to get out of the hair and get into makeup full-time or what have you. You know, definitely find where your gifts really lie and where your passion really is and really focus
right.
on that to really develop that. Because, you know, when you start taking those jobs in hair, but you're really better at makeup, but you can do hair, you might have to think twice about that because then it may really show that that's not where your gifts really lie. And at that point, people don't want to hear any excuses. They don't want to say, so what? The hair looks great, but it didn't really mean anything when she was late every day.
Right.
So I think it is important that you share that. And I just wanted to say, because I know people in the chat room are wondering when Lawrence is coming on. We're still waiting for him to call in. And I know my sister was working with him today. I'm not sure. Are you guys still at work, or what's the situation with that? Hello, Denise. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to bring her back in. Hello?
Oh.
Are you there?
Oh, Lawrence is still at work, but I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's going to try to call in, you know, if he can for like 10 minutes or so, but he's shooting this one last scene, so hopefully, you know, he can call in before they do that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So this would be the day that he gets saved, you know,
right.
a little late, huh?
Exactly. He's been leaving early every day except today.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Well, I agree with you on that. I see, what is it, Satsuki, I'm sorry, makeup artist. I don't know if that's how you say that. I don't want to say it wrong. But they're saying in the chat room how she does hair, she wants to do makeup, and that hair is paying the bills for her. But you got to figure out which one, again, right, is your passion. Which one, if you're doing hair right now, you're making money at hair could be your passion, even though you think you want to do makeup. You never know. You know, you really have to. A lot of time I see hairstylists who are like, I'm just sick of doing hair because they're sick of doing it in the shop. But doing it in the shop is not the same as doing it on the set. And if you just pray about it and ask the Lord to relieve you of those doubts and worries about it, hair could be your thing. And not doing it in the shop could be the issue. You know, because what is it really that bothers her about doing hair? You know, if she calls in or maybe we talk to her or something. But other than that, you never know. Hair could be your strong suit, you know. And even though you want to do makeup, you can end up doing makeup or quitting what you're doing with hair, trying to promote yourself only doing makeup and not work. Because maybe makeup, you may not be as good at makeup as you think you are. So you really do have to get into your gift, get into what you're doing now. Is that the one that you're good at? If you're good at it, why is it you don't want to still do it? Because you're just sick of it because of certain situations? Because it's not truly your gift and maybe makeup is? You have to make those good conscious decisions. You have to pray about it, figure out which one is the right one for you. Because if you want to get in the union, you do have to choose. You cannot get on the set. Even though on the set of one of the pilots that I did for Lionsgate and MGM last year, the guy on there, hairstylist, was doing some pieces to go in Carrie Elwood's hair for this character, and he was like a country music star of the 80s, basically. So he needed kind of that longer ducktail type looking hair, kind of, you know, cheesy old 80s hair. And so every day he was rewashing these tracks. You know how we'll actually sew a track in or make a whole piece to go on the back of a head and braid down the hair or put multiple clips on it to put it in. He was doing that one track with the little clips on it. And he had about five or six tracks that he took his time every day and put in this man's head. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, Garnet, his name is Garnet. He's cool. I was like, you are making that difficult. I was like, dude, I would not do it like that. I was like, I would take a piece of lace. I would sew that hair onto that lace. I would cut that lace to fit his head, and every day I'd put multiple clips on it, and I clip that whole thing in his head and be done. When he comes in here, clip it in, be done in 10 minutes. I'd have it washed and curled before he got here. And I can hear somebody talking, but I can't hear what they're saying.
I'm sorry. I think I have someone, a call, caller on the phone. That's probably who you hear.
Yeah, I
can
barely
hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear
you. Okay, finish saying what you're saying, and then I'm going to bring the caller in.
Just, he was doing the same type of thing. He was taking long because he could take long because he was hair, department head. But if he had done mm-hmm. that the way I was saying do it, it would have been so much quicker. And what people don't realize is the longer you take, you're calculating up the salary of every person on the set. And people don't think about it like that, which is the issue with the person that I was talking about for the show that we were on, me and Denise. She ended up getting fired. She was taking way too long, and even Offset, she was keeping up drama, and she was taking way too long to cut hair every day. You're taking hours to cut three or four heads when you have help and you don't want the person to help you. So you can't do that. You have to consider time and budget. You have to consider time management, budget management, and the big picture of what the producers are looking at and think of, and then you mess around, and you can either not be hired back like the lady you said talked about, or fired, like the one I'm talking about.
Right,
now,
like
the guy on that stage, he didn't get fired, but he took too long.
But basically, JK, and this is what I want a lot of people to understand, especially for those who are really thinking seriously about getting into the union. Getting into the union, hair and makeup is not just about doing hair and doing makeup. There's so much more that goes into it, you know, with the paperwork, with budgeting, with ordering, you know, and people think, oh, okay, anybody can order supplies, but not really. When you order supplies, there's a bunch of paperwork that goes along with that. So you also have to be very business minded. It's not something that you're going to just go in one morning, do makeup all day, and that's it. There's going to be some doing makeup in the morning and maybe some in the afternoon, maybe some after lunch touch-ups. And then when you get on set, it's going to be some touch-ups. But then it's also a lot of sitting around when you get on set. So, you know, people need to really listen to what you're saying, not just hear the talk about hair and all that, but just really listen to, you know, some of the other things that you're saying and really, you know, really hear it.
Well, one of my pet peeves on the set is to hear people talking about, oh, my God, I can't, I just hate waiting. Oh, my God, I'm just so tired of being on, oh, why do we have to wait so long? What's taking them so long? I cannot stand hearing that from anybody on the set. This is what we do. We sit and wait. We do some work in the trailer, and we may work real hard, and then we sit and wait on the other departments to do what they have to do. It's just not a big deal.
Yeah, because guess what? They sat and waited on us to get the actors ready.
That's right. They sure did. And so why? Why fuss about it? If part of what you want to do is hair and or makeup, clothes, wardrobe, you want to be a grip, you want to be whatever, there's a lot of waiting involved in television and film. Being on set, and it's part of your job. You are getting paid to sit on your behind. Shut up.
I'm going to take a call from the 301 area code.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Satsuki, and I'm in the chat room. And
okay, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good.
I was calling because, yeah, I've been doing hair for like 20 years. And actually, this year is like 20 years. And I was doing it since I was like 14. Like JK, I knew what I wanted. I had bad hair experiences in salons, and I just wanted to do my own. I wanted to get it the way that I wanted to. So I didn't even want to be a hairdresser. I wanted to be a lawyer. But getting out of school, not having the funds to go to law school and things like that, I started to just do hair. And I said, well, I'll go to hair school. And it was in hair school that I fell in love with makeup. But at the time, I felt that hair would give me the lifestyle that I wanted. And I learned more skincare in cosmetology school. So to make a long story short, I just started doing hair, and then I went into doing hair for the money, basically. And when I started seeing the transformations and everyone saying that you have the gift, you know, blah, 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 I, you know, started to love it. And I did hair shows, I did the magazine photo shoots, this, and that. But every time I would do, like, a magazine photo shoot and see the makeup artists, I'm sitting there looking at what they're doing, what they got going on. I was more passionate about makeup. And I would do, of course, myself, and I would get compliments or what have you as far as makeup. And I would just go to do weddings, you know, didn't have any business cards, give out my hair cards. And at the time, I was like, I don't know if this will pay what I'm making in hair. So I didn't really pursue it. So back in 2009, the hair business for me, I wasn't living the lifestyle that I was accustomed to, and business had failed, and I just prayed about it. I said, well, Lord, out of the other gifts you give me, what else can I do to make some extra income? And I waited a while, and my answer was makeup. So that's when I started to do my research and Google, and I just learned everything that I could. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this into a business. And when I started doing that and doing my research, I became passionate about it. And now when I advertise my makeup business, I don't advertise hair. I'll let them know I do light hairstyling. And I try not to mention hair because I don't want to really do it any. Right now, hair pays the bills.
Right.
So that's what I'm doing. But I can finish a face in less than 30 minutes. And with hair, I always clients, y'all only come to me because I am fast. So I'm fast at both of them. But I'm more passionate about the makeup. I tested with a photographer yesterday, and he said, well, how long does it take you to finish your face? I said, less than 30 minutes. You know, maybe 30 minutes. He said, well, I'll tell you what. I don't want you to rush. I want you to take it. So I took my time, and he said, well, you're fast. He said, you took your time, and you're still fast. And I had that caught in a situation on a shoot a couple of weeks ago. The hairstylist backed out. And I think that the photographer knew that I do hair as well because it was on my Model Mayhem page or what have you. So he was like, well, the hairstylist backed out. Do you have any hair stuff? I said, no, I came to do makeup. I didn't really want to do the hair. I don't want to do hair on set, but luckily the model, she had a flat iron. So I whipped her up less than 20 minutes, pinned her up. I said, if you got pins, I'll pin it up. We pinned it up. She was done in 20 minutes. We had hair and makeup done in less than 45 minutes. And he was like, okay, you're fast. I'm like, but I don't want to do the hair. So my thing is I don't want to do hair on shoots. I will, but if it's going to pay the same, I'd rather do the makeup. That's just, you know, my story as far as me and makeup. And I've just become more passionate about it than I am about the hair. I just would rather do makeup.
I'm not saying don't do makeup. I'm saying that if what keeps driving and what you keep getting called towards hair mm-hmm. might be what you end up doing. If you can get makeup jobs, wonderful. If you've been doing both for a while and you really are good at it, but what you have to really start looking at is which one are you best in? You can do it fast, but are mm-hmm. you really good at both? Are you fabulous at both? Are you is both flawless, past the testing point?
Well, that's the funny thing, because that's what I named my hair, you know, my makeup business when I just was looking for a name, and I was praying about everything, and it said, you know, I didn't want to name it just Makeup by Satsuki or whatever. I wanted to you know, something that I could do both if called. I didn't want it to just single it out as makeup or hair. So I named it Flawless Beauty. So that's where I came up with the name. But I honestly can say I'm not going to say I don't want to do hair anymore. Like I said, it pays the bills. But, like, now I'm slowly getting my clients to a couple of days so that I can focus more on the makeup, because I'm getting more makeup gigs. I've been, you know, doing my test, and like I said, you know, studying and everything. I study pictures. I have not seen regular TV, like we were talking about Face Off. I haven't seen Face Off in 3 weeks because I stay up all night doing my research. Even though I'm testing, I'm getting paid gigs, I still every night study, you know, or research or study a certain look or study another makeup artist, you know, work and just see the flaws and even critique my own makeup. You know, my own stuff. And I've seen a big difference from when I prayed about it and started the makeup business. I see a big difference from then to now. And there's a big difference. I even actually deleted some photos of my work because I'm like, there's a big difference. I've grown. Because first I was just, I knew I liked it. I was putting it on. But once I started to research and Google and study and read and take classes, and I could see a difference. And I'm doing things totally different, which helps with my time. You know, I was just telling another makeup artist friend the other day, I said, don't get discouraged. I said, because when I go and do test shots or whatever, that's practice for me. So I'll do free for now. But I know I want this as my regular job all day. I don't care if I work 3 days a week, but this is what I want. This is what I'm passionate about. You know, this is what I want. I don't care about doing the hair on the side, but I want to do makeup full time. It's just, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I can already tell it's your passion because of you know, all of the things you're saying. You're saying you don't mind doing free for right now. You
right.
know, you don't mind if you just do it 3 days a week. You know,
right.
you read, study, you research.
Yeah.
Most artists aren't doing that. Most new artists and young artists aren't doing that. They're not getting
yeah.
on Google and researching.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that's, I mean, like I said, I stay in front of my laptop from the time I get home. Like, I have two kids and a husband, and my husband is supportive, and I try to, you know, divide the time, and my husband understands this is your passion, this is what you do, what you have to do. So sometimes I don't go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, reading blogs.
I already knew you had a spouse, because otherwise you wouldn't care whether you work every day.
I'm sorry.
You do hair. I already knew
yeah.
you had a second income in your household, because otherwise you would care that you work every day.
Yeah.
So you had to have a second income to be, or some sort of reason that you can have the convenience of saying, I don't care whether I work on other days or don't.
Oh, no.
I just want to do makeup.
No. I have to, no, believe me, I have to work my full-time job, which is hair. And I actually make more than my husband. So I'm the breadwinner of my house. So I have to, I still do hair every day. I'm just saying, for futuristic, if I did only 3 days worth of nothing but makeup and that could pay
gotcha.
My bills,
okay.
yeah, that could pay my bills, that would be fine with me, is what I'm saying. If that was my full-time job and I only did it for 3 days, but no, I go to work every day. No.
I thought you were saying you now currently are happy with
going to work three or four days.
Okay,
oh,
yes.
No, I can't afford to do that.
It still doesn't mean that in the end you won't end up doing hair. And I'll tell you this. I would not, and that, we don't want to turn this into the Christian show, but I would not promote and say and validate that I don't want to do hair, because you could end up not getting hair gigs and not getting as many makeup gigs as you want. Basically,
yeah.
I would say more of a, I want to do whichever one the Lord leads me to be, for me to be best in and for me to get gigs in, and I want to be happy with it.
Yeah.
I want to be good at it, good and great at it, and happy with whichever one the Lord leads me to. Because once you get to a point where you have to go to the union, you're going to have to choose.
Yeah, and I've already realized that, like I said, with my research, and I realized that, like you said, the time would come when I would have to choose, and I already know that what my choice would be. It would not be
yeah.
hair. That's how I feel about it, because I mean, I've been doing hair for 20 years, you know, and the game is not much has changed, just a lot of the players, you know, and like I said, when business started to fail, you know, like you make wigs. I do weave, but it's nothing that I advertise. It's something that I don't want to do, you know what I'm saying? So I'm more passionate about the makeup. If someone comes in my chair and I'm trying to talk them into getting a makeover or ask them, do they know anybody getting married? I'm not. You know, I'm not. That's how I feel about. That's how I feel about hair. Yeah,
but then
that's what you do on hair.
That is every time somebody does a hairdo for you, you throw in free something on their makeup.
Oh, that's what I do. I tell them I'll do your makeup. One of my clients' birthday was this weekend, and she was getting all her hair cut off, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, won't you let me do your makeup for you? You know, she's like, well, I don't know. Does anybody pay for my hair? I said, I would do it for free. You know, I just want you to see how you can look and, you know, see my work. And she was like, okay, but I'm not really a makeup wearer. She was going to be a makeup wearer before she got out of that chair. But that's how I feel about makeup. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
hair,
then,
I've been doing it so long.
We have Lawrence on the line. Let me get him in really quick because he may have to jump off.
Okay,
hey, Lawrence.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good,
how are
you?
How are you?
Well, thank you for joining the show. We were waiting for you, anxiously waiting for you.
I'm glad I could get off
in
time.
We've just been talking about hair. We started off talking about hair, and then we got into hair, the hair and makeup issue. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you specifically, because I know that you work with a lot of celebrity talent, I wanted to ask you, because we brought it up earlier in the conversation, we were talking about working with, hair, the weaves, the wigs, and that kind of thing for TV and film. But also there's this big thing about lace front wigs. And I was sharing with them that I read a little article about lace front wigs, and they were talking, they used Beyonce and I think Ciara and somebody else, they mentioned them in the article. And they were just talking
uh-huh.
about how the lace front wigs aren't believable.
Uh-huh.
And because of the fact that you can see the lace, I guess stylists are having problems with hiding that or whatever. What is your take on the whole lace front wig craze?
My take on it is it's all about the quality of the wig. I know that I have a few wig makers in Los Angeles who are custom wig makers, and they make it specifically for film and television. And those wigs are totally, when I say totally non-detectable, they are totally non-detectable. And just like you buy a suit and you have that suit tailored to you, these wigs are tailored and measured to your head. If you have a weird hairline, your hairline has a widow's peak, or you have a lopsided hairline, the wigs are specifically made that way so that it looks exactly like your hairline. Now, the issue with a lot of the ones that people are buying off the shelf is they're not custom made, so therefore you have this perfectly round hairline, and I'm hearing that people are shaving their natural hairlines to put these wigs on their heads. And that's not the right way to do it. That's not the right way it should be done, but it's what people are being taught, and that's actually wrong.
Now, so the custom wig makers that you're talking about provide you with wigs that are customly made for one particular person's head. So basically, when you get on a film or a television show that's using the HD camera, you're not even going to be concerned about any lace or anything showing because you know you're going to be good.
Yeah, exactly, because these wigs are made with the finest lace that there is, and like I said, they're tailored to you, specifically tailored to you. You're not going to be able to take this wig off of A and put it on B because it's made to fit B, just like B's clothes would be made to fit B.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just that, and I've experienced it firsthand. I've seen this being made. I've actually taken a class out there in L.A., and it's a very intricate method, but, it's something that's definitely, it's an investment. It's totally an investment. But if you invest in it and get the right quality, of materials to make the wig, it can go a long way.
Okay.
And be undetectable.
Undetectable, right, exactly. Now,
because
if you think about it,
I'm sorry, they're not a new thing. These things have been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And because they're in mass production now, they're making them not of the best quality materials, and therefore, you know, they're detectable. But when you think about it, these have been around for years, I mean decades, in theater and television, and they were never known about until they became mainstream.
Gotcha. Mm. Now, I was just talking about film and television. Now, because they're using HD cameras, just in general when it comes to hair, whether it's a wig or a weave or just somebody's regular hair, are there any things that hairstylists need to watch out for now that they're using HD cameras when it comes to hair?
One thing that I've experienced is, the slightest, and it's hard to even hide, but the slightest flyaways, you know, they're shown. One method that I use for film and television for HD is, it may sound a little crazy, especially for African-American women, but just take a small water bottle and mist the hair with water. Just mist it, and you want to actually do this to get the flyaways out of view. This is not going to make the hair revert, but it actually works. It's one of the methods that works better than hairspray.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it is a tricky thing, you know. It is a tricky thing because of HD, and it actually has me sometimes kind of stressing about my work. Oh God, this is just not going to be good. Blah blah blah. But you know, you learn tricks of the trade, and you learn how to watch the camera. You learn how to stand behind the camera just like the cameraman does, and you watch how that light is hitting the hair coming from the left, or if it's lit from behind, you definitely got to watch it, because if something's lit from behind, you're going to see every single flyaway.
Right.
That's an interesting technique, the water. I've never heard that one. That's cool.
Yeah. It's just a very, very fine mist of water.
But then you did win an Emmy, right?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. I was just adding that in there. I saw that on the chat room.
Yeah, that happened.
Let me ask you this, Lawrence, because I had
Absolutely.
Mentioned earlier about some different types of lace. Now, have you ever used French lace or any of the finer laces?
Yes, French lace is the very, very fine lace, yes, and it's very, very good, very undetectable. It's a little bit more expensive, you know, when it's being made, but it's totally worth it. The finer the lace, the more, I say, the less undetectable it can be.
Right, but the easier it can tear easier, right?
Oh, my God, very fragile, very, very fragile. They're not made to be worn, like, every day. They're made specifically for, you know, that particular, they're made specifically for film and television to be put on, to be worked in, and taken right off, put it right back on the mannequin head and block it for use the
right.
next time.
Now, explain to people what block it.
I'm sorry?
That's what I was saying earlier.
You're right. I said explain to people what blocking is.
Blocking is a method that when your wig is taken off, you put it specifically on a wig head, and it can be done on a styrofoam head, but I prefer the canvas heads because they're sturdier. You take little stick pins, and you put the wig head on the wig head, and you take stick pins and you go around the hairline, every eighth of an inch, and you stick a hairpin there. But what you're doing, you lay a piece of nylon. I'm sorry, you lay a piece of elastic string or elastic tape on that hairline. And you stick the pins in every eighth of an inch. This actually helps the lace to lay flat as possible, so that when you put that lace on, when you put the wig on, it lays as flat as possible. One thing you don't want to do is have a lace wig that's buckling around the edges. But blocking it helps it to lay perfectly flat on the skin.
So basically, in blocking it, you're prepping it for the next day so it does not buckle
exactly.
overnight.
Exactly. You're prepping it for your next wear. And
I'm laughing to myself because I remember a show where a male actor wore a wig, and I don't ever remember his hairstylist blocking the wig every day.
And that could very well have been the reason why the wig why it looked so terrible today.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's just
God.
It's a method that I learned. You just block it. You can actually dampen the hairlines. It's a little bit with water. But most of the time when you clean it, when you take it off and clean it with alcohol, it's already damp. So you can take it from that state and block it right there.
Right.
Well, that's like the guy I was talking about that, this is J.K. Hunter talking, I was talking about that did the pieces, the tracks with the little clip-in combs on it every day. And he was blocking it, meaning laying it out. But he did those 5 tracks every day in that guy's hair instead of one lace piece that was cut or putting it on a lace or on something so that he could clip it all in together and then block it every day and redo it. I didn't use the term blocking because I don't do hair on that level, like I said before. He wasn't doing that. It was taking him forever to put those 5 tracks in every day in this guy's hair. And it was just a mess. It was taking too long.
I've found that, you know, you learn shortcuts. You learn as you go. But, yeah, that's something I would have definitely suggested.
So do you make pieces, Lawrence, when it comes to doing that?
You know, when it comes to especially creating illusion, I come up with stuff that, you know, I kind of sit there and try and figure it out. I figure it out the day before, a few days before, or sometimes on set I figure it out. But, you know, there are lots of shortcuts and pieces that I can make that will cover, you know, back of the head and 2 more pieces that will cover each side. And before you know it, I got a head full of hair, you know, and it's all clipped in, you know. So you're definitely always trying to find shortcuts and methods that will actually make your work, will cut down the time of your work.
Wow.
Even when it comes to, I've had quick changes and things like that where I had to figure out how to get a ponytail on literally in 5 minutes. So, I made it with Velcro. I put Velcro on it, and that way I was able to wrap that ponytail around in a matter of minutes, Velcro it, and keep on moving.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sticky Velcro. Velcro or the sew-on Velcro would work through that.
Yeah, either one, but I think I sewed it on just because I wanted to, you know, make sure it was very secure. But just wrapped it around and made sure it was closed up tight and wrapped a piece of hair at the base. And it was literally done in about 7 or 8 minutes.
Lawrence,
there are a lot of tricks.
Are there any big differences between working in hair, like in film and television, versus print and fashion?
It depends on the type of shoot there is. If it's specifically a fashion shoot, you want to go sometimes with the theme If it's something that's very, very edgy, you definitely have to go edgy, but you definitely have to go more extreme or more avant-garde than you would for just a typical, say if it's a lifestyle ad in a magazine, you want something that the everyday woman can relate to. If it's about fitness or if it's about dating or something, the woman in that picture, she wants to be relatable to the average everyday woman, so she's not going to look so over the top and extreme. But it's a fashion shoot, you definitely want to, you know, just go and push it to the edge so that the whole makes sense. So there is a difference. You definitely have to kind of research it. You kind of figure out, okay, what is she wearing? What is she not wearing? What's going on with what is the story trying to say to the viewer or the reader? So it all makes a difference. It's not a major difference, but it does make a difference.
But your hair, your actual hair techniques and how you go about your basic hair concerns will all still pretty much be the same.
Yes, your hair concerns will all be the same, whether you think it's going to last through the shoot or if you got to add something to the back to manipulate it to make it look fuller. You know, the concerns would definitely be the same.
So let me ask you a question, because I shared a little story a little while before you came on the phone about and this is when we were talking about makeup artists who do hair and that issue. But I shared the story with them about a makeup artist who started off, she went to cosmetology school, but she started off with hair, but she, you know, makeup is her passion, and that's how she's been working the last few years. But I was doing an independent
film in L.A., and I needed a hairstylist that would come in. The rate was terribly low, you know, but I needed somebody who would come in. This was, like, at the last minute, who would come in and, you know, do hair.
Mm-hmm.
She came in. She's good at hair. She can do hair. There was no problem with how the hair looked. But we were working with a Hispanic woman who had this extremely long hair. I mean, extremely long hair. And it was really, 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 really thick. And so the complaint about this particular hairstyle was that it was taking her too long every day to do this lady's hair. Now, in her defense, the actress came in every day with her hair wet and matted. So it took 45 minutes to an hour to, like, blow dry it, detangle it, and all that. And I you just used the word that made me think about the situation again. You were talking about cheated. Now, you were talking about cheating it and making someone's hair look fuller, and that's what made me think of this lady who had this extremely full, thick hair. How did you cheat her hair to make it look like it was completely done? Because what she was doing is she was curling it, and, you know, excuse me, I'm a makeup artist, so she was curling it. You know how you curl the hair where you wrap the hair around the barrel?
Mm-hmm, of course.
Okay. That's how she was curling her hair every day, but it was a lot of hair. So how do you cheat this actress's hair to make it look like maybe her hair is all done when really maybe the back is not?
One method that I just actually cheated this way. I took half of that hair and I parted the hair, I would say, from ear to ear in the back, maybe not at the hairline, but above the hairline. And I actually braided half of that hair down and pinned it. And because she had so much hair, the hair that fell over it totally covered it. Totally covered it, and it saved me at least 20 minutes of curling because this woman had so much hair. So I just went in, put a small braid in there, maybe about 2-inch section from ear to ear, braided that and pinned it, and then continued to curl the rest of the hair. It cut the time down tremendously.
Now let me ask
she
you,
had enough,
you know,
she had enough hair to cover all of that to make it still look full, so you didn't there was a portion of the hair basically you could eliminate out of the process. That's
exactly.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So basically, what you're saying is that what you're saying is that you braided the hair and then you put the hair that you were working on, like you pulled that back down so that it covered the braid.
Exactly, it covered the braid. It sure did. It covered
so
the braid. And
if they were going to shoot from behind her, then you would. You know, so you see the back of her hair, you wouldn't be able to tell that the braid was under there.
Exactly, because what I did,
gotcha.
Especially the first layer of curls above the braid, I actually pinned them to the braid, so there was no actual lifting or anything.
And this is the reason why I asked this question, because I was just saying to people in the chat room is that makeup artists do need to know something about hair, because for me, you know, had I known about that technique, that could have been one of the things that I suggested to her. Now, I did tell her she should cheat it, but my thing is, as the hairstylist, I was expecting her to know how to cheat it. You know what I mean? But as the makeup artist, which she's a makeup artist who does hair, she may not be necessarily a makeup artist who knows a lot about hair. So, you know, if I would have known that technique, that could have been something that I could have saved, you know, that I could have said to her, to help her save some extra time.
Of course, exactly. Yeah, and, you know, it's trial and error. You learn these things as you go along. Just learn what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, everybody has their own method, but, you know, you and sometimes you're forced to come up with something at the last minute because it's either you hold up production or you figure it out so that production starts on time. And nine
That's
times
right.
out of ten, you're going to have to figure it out so that you don't hold up entire production.
So, like,
it may be her fault.
Gladys,
it may be her fault for coming in late and coming in wet, but you got to figure out how to get her out there on time.
That's right.
She's not
going to
be the one that's
going to
be let go. She won't be the one
that's
let go if she's the artist.
Exactly. You're going to be blamed
for it. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's what happened in this situation. The artist was the one who wasn't called back the next show, you know, and it didn't matter. The production knew exactly what the actress was doing. As a matter of fact, the actress was given every department hell, and, you know, but the production knew. But they're not going to say to the actress, she's the lead actress, what they're going to say, don't come back? No.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So tell us, Lawrence, what should we be expecting as far as hair trends for the spring?
Well, you know what? I was just thinking of a few things myself, and I mean, for right now, I don't know how other people feel about it, but I feel like short hair is going to be in for a while. I just really do.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, if it ever went away, which it really didn't, but of course people were weaving
right.
and, you know, loving that, but it's going
right.
to be back for a while. It's definitely going to be back for a while. And just in my experience with today, with a few women that I was doing on set, a lot of women are not only, you know, just the short hair, but a lot of women are going natural. A lot of natural hair is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Not
yes,
natural as in, not as in dreads or things like that, but just natural hair. They're starting to press their hair and take care of it and just
mm-hmm.
look at things a little bit healthier. Yeah, that's what I see.
Amen, I am. Oh, yeah, I've been doing it since, what, 2005, I think? Let me ask you,
mm-hmm.
Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a lot of women have relaxers for a long, long time, and then they start to take their relaxers out and just wear their hair natural and straighten their natural hair, which I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
If your hair has thinned some because of the years of the relaxer, now
mm-hmm.
that you're back to your natural state, how can you get your hair to become a little thicker?
In my experience, for some of my clients who, you know, transitioned and went to that route, it actually thickened back on its own, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact that, you know, a lot of people, when they say, oh, my God, my hair's so nappy and my new growth, blah, 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 it's not necessarily nappy, you know, because it's natural, it's in its natural state, but that thick hair up under there is actually golden if you think about it. If you keep it natural and you let it grow, it's going to be double what you had when it was relaxed.
Right.
Unless you actually
right.
have some type of scalp damage where, you know, it's totally damaged at the scalp. But otherwise, you know, given a chance, it's pretty much going to look double the amount.
Mhm. Right. Hmm. It's going to come back thicker. I mean, you have to do something. You have to abuse it for it not to come back thicker.
Yeah, it'll come back thicker, but, you know, if you, you know, like I said, if there's scalp damage, then you have different issues.
Right. Or flat ironing it every day.
Yeah, that too.
Well, then let me ask you, because I know that, you know, I know, like, in L.A., a lot of women, you know, some maybe, but most women, you know, get their hair, you know, if they're not wearing weaves or, like, dreads or something like that, and they're just straightening their hair. Is
mm-hmm.
that very damaging to straighten your hair all the time, or... I mean, I know that's
in
how
my,
we started, but...
Right. In my opinion, in my experience with a few clients, it actually tends to, I won't necessarily say damage, but it actually almost becomes permanently straight, even when it's wet. If you have naturally curly hair and you press it at least once a week, you're going to find that your ends will start to just naturally go straight, even when it's wet.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, it's slightly damaging, but... it's not totally damaging to straighten it. I just don't think it should be done that often.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if a hairstyle straightens it very well,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can go for weeks and not have to straighten again.
Exactly.
Well, you know, and not watching, you know, like, especially out there, but like maybe on the East Coast where it's humid, you know, in the summertime,
mm-hmm.
it's not even going to work. I don't care how great you are with straightening, it's not going to work. But
mm-hmm. exactly.
And I'm talking about my hair. But but yeah, you're right. I mean, if you get it straightened and it's straightened very well, then you don't have to touch it as often,
right.
and it's not as damaging. But if you're straightening it every week, then I think it could possibly be.
Yeah, and I find that there are products actually that can aid you in, you know, keeping it straight without having heavy buildup or heavy oils and things like that. You know, there are silicone products that are better than they used to be. A lot of silicone products you know, were kind of greasy in the beginning, but they're becoming, you know, a bit lighter in formula, and they actually help preserve hair, you know, to keep it from being so, to keep it, to help keep it from reverting back so quick.
But the natural hair, we need the oil, though, right?
Yeah, with the natural hair, moisture is necessary. It's definitely it's definitely necessary. But a lot of people, and I was actually thinking about this morning as I was driving into work, a lot of people, you know, they just confuse the oil with moisture because the oil and water actually does not mix, and water is moisture and oil is not. So, you know, I find that, and some people don't, you know, I've had people disagree with me, but I find that the moisturizers that people used to use, like in Jerry Curls and things like that, if you're natural, that's some of the best moisture you can possibly give your hair instead of hair grease. Instead of hair grease, that's some of the best moisture you can give your hair.
Wow. Oh, you're saying hair grease is good?
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not going to go into saying it's bad, but I know people they confuse grease with being moisture. Grease is grease. Oil is oil, and moisture, water is moisture. And they don't mix. So it's like, it's just a kind of tricky thing. You know, they think because it's greasy, it's actually moisturizing, but that's not necessarily true.
No.
Right.
Because, you know, that's the first thing that a whole bunch of people do on their weave is slap some oil on it to try to tan.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's not, I personally can't, you know, I can't use grease in my hair, nothing like that. I mean, I have no hair, but I'm growing it out. And I find that moisturizer, like a little spray on moisturizer, or even a rub on moisturizer, like a curl moisturizer, Carefree Curl, those type of moisturizers work great on natural hair. And keeps the scalp hydrated much better than what hair grease would be. Yeah.
I can see that. My daddy used to have a curl. This is JK. Lars, what do you think about the the straightening technique that everybody is trying to do now? And a lot of hairstylists are pushing, I can't think of the name of it. It came from Japan.
The keratin?
They were doing keratin. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. I haven't personally done it, but I've seen people have it done, and I know people who have done it. I can't really give my opinion on it because I haven't totally, you know, I haven't applied it to someone's hair and I haven't analyzed the hair after it. I really don't know.
Gotcha. I don't know either. Just somebody was trying to talk me into it, and I was like, to me, it sounds like another chemical, and I don't, if I stop doing a perm, why should I do that?
Yeah, I don't know anything more about it, so I can't give my opinion. I definitely want to learn about it and, you know, experience it, but I haven't yet.
Right. I just wondered if it worked. Ladies?
I was just in the chat room. Tim and Karen is now in the chat room, so I was just saying hello to Tim.
Hello.
Hey, Tim.
Carly Cav says
so
she's learning so much tonight.
I know, I am too.
I'm on Twitter too. I am. And like I said, I do light hair, but not at the level of what Lawrence does. But I'm still learning things, which is what we talked
you know,
about previously.
In
we
my
should
opinion,
always be in learning
in my
mode.
Opinion, I don't care how long I've been doing hair, I learn something every day from somebody.
Amen.
I just do, and I love learning from other people. We may have the same style in the end, but we went different ways to get it. You know, it's
exactly.
Just, you just can never learn enough, and I tell people that every day.
Right.
And I watch people do hair, not because I'm just watching and spectating. I'm learning. I love
right.
when I see people do hair. I love
but
it.
You
I don't
know
care
what?
Who it is.
Even when you feel like they may not be going about it the right way, you're still learning.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I learn something. Even when I see mistakes, you're right. Always.
Mm-hmm.
In seeing a mistake, you know what not to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. You learn what not to do.
Right.
I totally agree.
A mistake is a blessing. You know not to get on set and make that same mistake. Ooh, I'm glad I saw that. Ooh, I never do
right.
that. Right. So I love it.
Exactly.
I'm watching the YouTube videos, which we talk about frequently, ladies. I love to watch some of those sometimes because I'm like,
oh,
oh
so do
my
I.
God.
Oh,
oh
yeah,
my God.
So do I.
They did that. Yeah, love them.
I think it's a wonderful thing YouTube has really exposed us to, so if we would have never known about, you know. But it's great. I think it's a wonderful thing.
Right. Yeah, sometimes I wonder how some people come up with some of the stuff that they come up with to do, and I just know, of course, I would never think to do some of those things, but just in case it comes to me, I know it wouldn't work.
Exactly. Or if I can't do it, I'll refer them to YouTube.
Well, let me ask you a quick question. This has nothing to do with anything important, but I was just thinking about, because, you know, we have this Face Off, which is a makeup artist, a special effects makeup artist reality show. And I often watch that show, and I don't know the name of it, but the real, everybody thinks she's so mean, the lady that comes in and turns the shop around. What?
Oh.
Have you ever seen it?
Tabitha?
Yes.
Yeah. Look, I love
about,
Tabitha.
Okay. I'm going to ask you, what do you think about her show?
You know, I saw her on the plane a few weeks ago, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, she actually made my day because I like her. She goes in, I think, of course, because of television, I think that, and I know for a fact, television will give you an image that you really, you know, you're really not that person. But in her defense, I think that some of the things that she called out, they need to be called out.
Oh, they really need to be.
She may go about it, or they may cut it and make it edited to the point where, you know, she's really, really mean and, you know, non-forgiving. But it's just some things that go on in salons that need to be called out. And she does, I think she does a great job at calling them out, whether it's the business, the way they're handling business, or just the way they're handling clientele, or the cleanliness of the salon. I really like it.
Yeah, I do too, and I've only watched the show in its entirety maybe like twice, but I do like the show, and I like where she goes in, and it just amazes me how some of these salons, like some of the people are so unprofessional, and
the salon owners
have dealt with it for so long to the point where the people just walk over the salon owners, like no matter what the salon owner says, they don't respect him or her, and then it takes Tabitha to come in and like make them respect the owner. It's just crazy to me.
Yeah, I feel like stuff like that, you know, it's something that people, you know, they have to be called out on it, whether you're being a wimpy owner or whether you're just this crazy owner who's over the top, you know. Whatever it is, it just needs to be called out so that your business not only succeeds, but that, you know, it is a better working environment for your coworkers as well as your clients.
Right. So, Lawrence, let me ask you, because I think you're with an agency, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you get jobs that, you know, that are not agency-related, do you feel like you have to be a business-minded person to basically take care of your business?
Oh, absolutely. And you'll learn, it's learned as, you know, as you go on. You know, my agency brings something to me and, you know, I'm available to do it, I will do it, and, of course, let them handle it from start to finish. But if there's something that's brought to me on my own, I've learned how to negotiate a rate. I've learned how to get my money like it's promised to me. So it helps you to become a better business person as well. It totally does. A lot of people, you know, and I've had issues where I did not get paid for jobs that, you know, by reputable, you know, editorial companies. And, you know, you just learn from your mistakes. And in some cases, you have to ask for your money ahead of time, or you have to ask for a deposit ahead of time. You just have to.
Right.
Here's one of the things I do, and I don't mind telling people that when somebody calls me, especially if they ask, well, can I come down on my price, I tell them, well, I can do such and such for you at a cash price.
Right.
Whatever rate. Cash price a day of.
But this is the thing, though.
Because if you're scared to ask for your money, that's a good way to use it.
And that's the thing, J.K., you can't be afraid to ask
for
what
you want. Because
most people are afraid that if they ask for what they want, they're going to lose the job.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a bigger star or something, sometimes people
mm-hmm.
will think that they won't pay the day of. They'll pay the day of. They'll
mm-hmm.
try not to, possibly,
yeah.
but they'll pay the day of. But that's a good way to ask them for it. If
yeah,
you don't want to
really
ask
is.
Them for it because you think you won't get the gig if you ask for your money. Yeah, you
mm-hmm.
can. You can do both. You can get the gig and ask for your money.
Right, you sure can. The first thing you need to ask is there budget involved, and what is the budget? And, you know, you basically go through it like that and you negotiate, and if they come off at the top and say, oh, the budget is, you know, $500 or $1,000, whatever have you, if you feel like it's worth it, your time, you know, if it's time spent, you know, and you say, okay, let's do $500, but anything over, you know, 5 or 6 hours, you know, we can talk about an overtime rate.
Right.
You know, you can do it. You can do it that way, and they're comfortable with that because it makes sense. It's your time, you know. If you're sitting there for 8 and 12 hours and you've done something that you really could have left after you did it, you know, and
right.
you're there 12 hours later and really, you know, it doesn't make sense for you to physically be there, then you can talk about additional funds. You know, I have one client, and I love her dearly. She looks out for her people to the point that she will not step on set until the check is in glam's hand. Unless hair, makeup, and wardrobe
wow.
comes to the check, she will not move. What
wow.
she does is she'll, you know, we'll get there and we'll get her done, and, you know, some kind of way they'll slip us out check while we're doing her, and she'll be like, did they take care of y'all? We'll be like, yeah. She said, hey, let's rock and roll. Let's do this.
Oh,
otherwise,
wow. She's
great.
All right. She's all
otherwise,
right.
Otherwise, she because, you know, in her profession, she said in her early days, she remembered getting off stage and wasn't nobody there with her check. She was promised
mm-hmm.
this and promised that. And by the time she got off stage doing her thing and sweating and whatever, not a soul was there to pay her. She said she would never, ever treat her people, I mean, have her people treat it wrong. I love her for that. Love her dearly.
Well, we have like 3 minutes left, and someone in 443 Baltimore area is calling, so let me get them on really quick. Hello.
Hi, yes. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Yes,
I can hear you. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Carly. I was just calling in. I do want to say, Lawrence, I know that you're from Baltimore, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine. I just wanted to say I just turned 22. I've been doing makeup for, like, forever now. I did it all the way through college, just freelancing, and that's how I basically paid for things. I worked with two companies before, and I'm at a counter now, and I'm trying to transition from working at the counter to doing more stuff in print and, you know, film and things like that. So I wanted to know what advice could you all give to me?
First of all, I would say, as an artist, period, build your portfolio. Build your portfolio. Get as many photos of your work as possible. It's not about a book necessarily, but even if you have a website or your Facebook page, you have something to be able to show your work and submit your work to publications or even agencies. Definitely have plenty of photos.
Yeah, I do have some photos and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Ladies.
Well, how have you, Carly, how have you tried to get work for yourself? Like, how do you go about it?
Well, usually it just people recommend me. Like, I've been to, you know, the makeup show. I've been to those type of events. I was fortunate enough to have one of my best friends was on a reality show. So once
mm-hmm.
that had finished, like, everything that she had did, basically, because I live in Bethesda now, so she did a lot of events and stuff in D.C. Like, I had did her makeup for all those appearances and things like that, so a lot of people were hitting her, like, you know, who's doing your makeup, you know, things like that. She has like 70,000 something followers on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Walking advertisement, that's wonderful.
Yeah, but
right.
You know, we're asking her that we're in the area, so that's basically, you know, everything.
Now, are you on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter.
What's your Twitter?
It's Carly Cav _ makeup, MKUP.
It's Carly Caz, you said?
Yes, it's Carly, C-A-R-L-I, C-A-V, like Victor, and then underscore M-K-U-P.
Okay. Now, how do you advertise yourself besides your girlfriend? People seeing your girlfriend.
I have cards out. I had flyers for one day. Like I did like a free thing. It was actually for my church for people to just come, and I did makeovers and stuff like that on them.
Mm-hmm.
The flyers and business cards. I went to a couple of Danessa Myrick's like the boot camps that she had and got certificates and different things like that. I went to Vaughn Lee School back in 2006. As soon as I graduated high school, I went there before I went off to college.
Uh-huh.
And then just working at the counter, I don't really, get an opportunity. I do makeup all the time, but I don't get an opportunity to get, photo shoots and things like that done. And that's what I want to get into.
So who do you freelance for at the counter, or who do you work for at the counter?
Well, I did freelance for Shiseido, and I worked with them before part-time, and I am with Smashbox right now.
Okay, so when you do events at the counter or just have customers come up to the counter, when you're doing makeovers for them or whatever, do you ever, and this may sound like a stupid question to people, but it's actually important, do you ever talk to the person about what they do or anything about their lifestyle?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you ever tell them about, what you do besides makeup and what you want to do?
Yeah, sometimes, depending on if the client, I'm having a good conversation with them and we're talking about our, life and everything like that, we definitely get into that and I tell them, what it is that I do want to do besides
mm-hmm.
working here. Because sometimes I will have people asking me, like, well, why haven't you done Fashion Week, or why haven't you done this? And I'm like thinking to myself, like, I really don't know why I haven't done things like that yet.
Right.
That's what I want to do.
You did say that you had a portfolio, correct?
Yes.
And you built that portfolio just by testing and that kind of thing?
Well, no, I haven't done any testing or anything. The only actual pictures that I do have is just pictures of my friend that was on a reality show from events that she did.
Got you. I think you need to start there. You need to start getting out, meeting photographers, and trying to do some test shoots and trying to build
Absolutely.
A portfolio with those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And one way you can do that is go to like your local modeling agencies and ask for a few girls. Do you have a few girls that I could test with? You get a photographer, a local photographer, or someone that's pretty good. A few girls from local agencies and just do beauty makeup on them. It's not even
mm-hmm.
about the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Pull the hair back in a simple
mm-hmm.
bun and just beat their faces. You'll get beauty,
mm-hmm.
beautiful shots out of that.
Absolutely.
And the reason
I think you need to start there.
And the reason why I was asking about, do you have conversations with the people that you do makeup on at the counters is because you never know who knows a photographer. You never know who has a sister or cousin or friend who's getting married may need makeup done for their wedding. Someone may have a teenage daughter who needs makeup for, prom, especially with prom season coming up. So just make sure that when you're doing a client at the counter, you're always, even when you go out to networking events or whatever, you're always telling people, who you are and what it is that you want to do, because people will remember that.
Yeah, and I definitely
just make sure that when you go to places, you're presentable.
Yeah,
and if you don't know any local photographers, just follow myself or my sister on Twitter, and I can give you some names for some photographers in Baltimore, and you can just start there, start testing, getting some pictures, and use those pictures to work with other photographers. You don't have to stick with the same photographers. You want some different looks in your book. I don't know if you go on those model sites, but I agree with Lawrence. I would go to the agencies and try to get models there. You will find some really good models on some of those model pages, but I would try the agencies first. And I think if you start there and build a book that way, I think you will have something that you can show anybody, whether it's for Fashion Week, whether it's for, an independent
film or, you know, local television or something, you would have some quality material to show. That's where you should start.
And again, and then, since you're in Baltimore, the Mellon Art Institute is an excellent place to go. They have a photography program, and I know a very, very well-known photographer who started at Mellon Art Institute, and I know those photographers are always looking for makeup artists to test with.
Yep, okay. And that's what I was going to say, because back in the day when I first started, that's one of the first things I did is I went to them. Just call them. They can put postings up on the board or something like that, and people will get back to you, and you can start there as well.
Plus, okay. This is Jake. This is JK. Who is this in your avatar on your Twitter?
That's me.
Okay, so that's your first promotion right there, your face.
Exactly.
If every time
exactly.
you're out, your face looks like I see in this picture, you will get people stopping you, saying something to you about, oh, my God, your makeup looks good. And the first thing out of your mouth needs to be, oh, yeah, I do it professionally. Here's my card.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's usually, you know, what I do. And then people, like y'all said, all the time that are coming to the counter, they're getting married and things like that. I said I was going to do, like, a special or something for, like, proms coming up and
might make you out a list. I tell everybody to get a composition book and make you out a list of what you want to do and where you want to be, where you want to go. And one
exactly.
of the things you need to do is your website, because I see you have Shashelda on here, but you need your website on your Twitter instead of mm-hmm. them. Not bad to promote them. They have plenty of promotion. They have their own PR people. Put yours
on there. I agree.
Yeah,
so
and start,
repeat
you know, make that one of your things that you decide you're going to do. If nothing else, have your Facebook page on here and start posting some of your pictures on your Facebook page. You know, so
exactly.
that people, you have somewhere to send people where you have a website with some pictures on it. Even if you have to start a fan page and you don't really feel like you need or want a fan page and put pictures
mm-hmm.
on there that are only for portfolio, not family, friends, and funny style.
Okay.
And that's your beginning portfolio online reference and put it on your card. You know, make it an easy name that, you know, Facebook.com/Carly, something that's not difficult for people to remember and get and grasp. And,
now, Carly,
and
repeat,
start there with the, pro,
repeat
with
your
the promo
again.
Card.
It's Carly, C-A-R-L-I, and then it's C-A-V, Carly Kev.
Underscore okay.
MKV.
I put an E on there. Okay.
No, I found it only because you already you tweeted something on Beauty Talks. If you do the hashtag Beauty Talks, she pops up.
Well,
because otherwise, Carly Cav underscore makeup is a little complicated.
Yeah.
It's a little complicated. It's not majorly complicated, but it's a little complicated. It's not
yeah,
as
we
easy.
Have, we have exceeded our time, and I know Lawrence has been working all day. I know my sister has been working all day, and I don't want to hold you up any longer because I know you're probably tired. But thank you, Lawrence, for calling in.
Thank you,
you
for having
work.
Me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you being on the line, and thank you, Carly, for calling in with that question because I think I'm sure there's some other people that were out there listening who probably need to hear the same thing.
Oh, and I definitely I thank y'all for all of the advice and everything, and I'm definitely going to get on that, calling around and try to set up test shoots and things like that.
Yeah, so just hit us up on Twitter, let us know, you know, how it's going or whatever. If you have any other questions, we'll be glad to help you out. That's not a problem.
Yeah, and if it's any photographers that are in the Baltimore area that you can refer me to, I would greatly appreciate that.
Okay, I'll tweet it.
Okay.
Okay.
Lawrence, your Twitter, which I know what it is, but tell your Twitter, Lawrence.
It's Lawrence Davis. I'm sorry, it's Hair by Lawrence. That's what it is.
It's Hair by
Lawrence.
Uh-huh. I tweeted you a few times. I tweeted some of the Beauty Talk stuff with your name in it.
Thank you so much.
And
I appreciate it.
JK, it's just JK Hunter, right?
JK Hunter, yep, nice and simple.
I'm just Janice Tunnell. My sister's just Janice Tunnell. You know, it's simple. Some
you
people don't know herself Tunnell, but it's okay. Yeah.
No, I just tweeted Carla, so he's got it.
Okay. So we'll all be able to find each other. That's cool.
Right.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, so thank you guys for joining us tonight. Check us out next week, where our guest will be Tracy Morning, and she'll be here to talk about her Bath and Body Ritual Collection. So join us next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Chat with you guys later. Good night.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Good night. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Lawrence. Thanks. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Good night, Carly.
Good night.